What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez joining me now in studio, acting icon, my man Anthony Michael Hall. How are you, sir?
Good, sir. Good to see you, buddy.
You look really good yourself. Thanks for taking the time to come in here.
Thanks.
Well, let's first talk about you guest starring in tonight's episode of Riverdale. Now, it's a flashback episode, and you're playing a principal, right?
Character is Principal Featherhead, and what it is,
Featherhead
for some reason. No kidding. Yeah. It's sort of an homage to The Breakfast Club. It's a little darker considering the context of that show.
Nice.
So it's called The Midnight Club, and I had a lot of fun on it, man. It was a good episode.
I bet.
I had a good time with it. Yeah.
You know, in thinking back, I was just talking to a friend of mine. There's certain movies you look out, and you're like, you know what? That didn't hold up. Breakfast Club holds up. It holds up. Such a classic. And of the films of that era, is that the one that people come up to you and mention the most?
The John Hughes stuff, there's that kind of trilogy I did with him, but that film probably the most, you know, because like you said, it's held up, and I think there's a nice unifying message about it, which the film finishes with, you know what I mean? I think that's the reason for it. You know, he was a great writer, as you know. He was a really talented guy, man.
Yeah, great music, too. Great soundtrack right there. Well, this episode is called The Midnight Club, like you said, and is there just sort of creative license to have as many references to The Breakfast Club or to that era? And I love that you embrace it, by the way.
You got to, man. You got to. There's nothing to be precious about. You know, I mean, we've all been very blessed and fortunate to have careers in this industry. I think that they kind of took from the film and then they kind of take it in other directions. It's kind of like D&D theme with this game that the students are playing, and it gets a little dark, and I don't want to give it away, but there's some good stuff that happens.
Is it a bit surreal playing a high school authority figure at this point?
Oh, totally. Yeah, no kidding. At 50, it is. It is.
And outcasts, I don't know if that's the right word to use maybe back in the day, but I guess, you know, just...
Aren't we all?
We're all kind of sort of outcasts, right? And Riverdale seems to have like this huge cast and a very talented cast, and they seem to pay homage and like to all these great little nods here and there. And I think the credit to a lot of success of the show, which
I agree.
Well.
I agree. And it's always about the writing, as you know, that, you know, having done shows. I mean, they got a great writing staff, very creative team up there, and a great crew. A lot of them I'd worked with years ago on The Dead Zone when I went up there. So it was great to see some old friends up there in Vancouver.
That's right. Yeah, Vancouver's such a great place. I forget
great city,
that
man.
Right there.
Yeah.
And speaking of classic 80s films, 16 Candles just hit Netflix for the first time. Another film that holds up.
There you go.
Another film that raised another new generation. Was it John Hughes really sort of the common thread in the writing that makes it timeless?
He definitely was, man, because he was so talented in terms of his scripts. They always had a lot of stuff, you know, to work with. Really funny. But his other great intelligence and gift, I think, was improvising, letting people play, man, putting people in the right frame of mind. You know how it is. You've done comedies. I mean, it's a different tone when you come to set, you know, it's a different lighter vibe. And he was great that way. He really brought the best out in everybody.
That's great that he gave you such creative freedom, especially for a writer, because they usually, or oftentimes, I shouldn't say usually, want you to stick to their words because they're so meticulous about the way they want it told.
Exactly. And he was just the opposite. So that was another, I think, a real talent that he had. You know, he was cool with everything, kept it loose.
That's great. And I was looking on Instagram. It's been a minute since you posted anything. What's your relationship with social media these days?
I'm not too much there. You know, I don't do too much of it. I gotta get on the stick.
We're not of that era.
You know what I'm saying, buddy? Yeah. Listen, it's important. You know.
Yeah.
It's a new platform. It's a new century, man.
Yeah.
New ways to attack it.
It's a fun way to keep up with people that maybe you don't necessarily want to talk to or hang out with. You kind of want to know what they're up to.
That's true, too.
Or reconnect.
Yeah, I hate you, but I want to know what you're up to.
No, it's true.
You know,
there's a voyeuristic aspect to it. Yeah.
I really don't want to have a reunion, so let me just check out what's going on in social media. I don't want to waste the time to get together.
It's kind of like you prefer...
It's kind of like a yearbook, right?
Yeah, you kind of prefer people to text you instead of actually calling.
I wonder, speaking of reunions, do people... have high school reunions still because of social media? Because reunions are very popular, of course, because you didn't see anybody after years.
Right.
I wonder if that's the case.
Yeah.
Good question.
I had my 10 year a few years ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
And we were on social media then. You kind of know what everyone's doing, though. So it's like, all right, this is...
Because of social.
Yeah, because of social. And where is home these days?
Right here in town, man. I live in Playa del Rey.
So, and where are you from originally?
I was born in Boston, raised in New York City.
Okay. I don't remember you having a Boston accent. In fact, did you lose it?
I guess I lost it. Yeah, I was born there, really raised in New York City.
Okay.
But originally from New England,
So Patriot. New England guy, because it's usually a pretty strong accent out there.
No kidding. Yeah, it can be very thick, that accent.
It can be. What about the holidays? Are you planning on spending it here?
We usually go back. My family would go back to the East Coast, see the family in New York City, see my parents. I got a bunch of family there in New England still, so I go back.
I'm sure of it.
Yeah, every year.
And you got kids, Anthony?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
No kids yet. I'm working on it.
No, yeah, we're okay. Good luck with
that.
Do you
have any like Thanksgiving traditions, like maybe watching Weird Science or something?
Very nice.
I love that movie, by the way.
It's like, great movie. Yeah, you kidding me? No, Kelly LeBrock had the biggest. Oh my God.
I just checked the reruns. I make sure. I'm surfing through the menu, making sure. Check the accountant.
Let me ask you this. Initially, when you first got into, did you always want to be an actor? Was it something you just sort of fell into? How did you come about it from a kid in Boston?
I did. I came into it very much by accident. I mean, I was a kid, and I did a play with Steve Allen, who had passed many years ago. He was a great legendary figure in our industry. Created The Tonight Show and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
So I worked with him as a kid. And then in the 80s, I was doing auditions as a young kid, just doing commercials. You know, you had started out young as well.
Yeah.
From there, I think I met John Hughes in the early 80s, and that led to the Hughes films.
So that, and was it a particular project? You just met auditioning for one of his projects?
Yeah, I think what happened was, for me, I was doing commercials and that kind of thing as a kid, and it was just kind of like a hobby. And then it kind of spun into just doing some TV, you know, after school specials and different stuff I did when I was a kid.
Yeah. And so you were what, about 10? What, is that safe to say?
I started when I was 8 years old, man.
So you were 8 years old?
3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, I was 10 when I started too, and it was sort of kind of by accident. And,
yeah.
And once I fell into it, then I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But like my dad said, it beats getting a real job, I guess.
You're not kidding.
That's
cool.
You got
to stay humble, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
We're very fortunate. You know?
Yeah, you have been very fortunate, and it's been...
You as
it's
well.
Been, yeah. Thank you, and I always root. I always say this. I always root for the former child actors, being one myself, and I know how difficult it is.
Right.
Right? And the transition. How was that for you?
For me, I've always just been focused, Mario, on the work, and what you do, handling and covering our industry from this aspect is really to be respected. It's a tremendous amount of work.
Oh, thank you.
It is, man. So for me, I've always just kind of liked doing the work, and I kind of disappear. You know, I mean, in recent years, I did some really interesting projects. I did a film that was out last year on Netflix called War Machine with Brad Pitt.
Oh, yes.
Great project. I just did a film with Joseph Kahn, who's a great video director, and it's a film called Bodied. It's about battle rap. So I like to mix it up. You know, I work in television, I work in film.
Yeah.
And then I go back to life, you know, which is
good for you.
Primary.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You said that initially you thought of it as like a hobby. At what point did you think like this could be a career?
I think that's a great question. I think it was after the time I had done Vacation, actually, in the early 80s, you know, and then
that's
it led
right.
to John Hughes and all that stuff. So, yeah, man, it's a trip. You
know, that movie is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, classics. Yeah, that's so awesome, yeah. Andy. That's so awesome. So, I want to put you on the spot.
Dig it.
Let you go quick.
Okay.
Quick questions, quick answers.
Sure,
ready?
Man. Yeah.
Most underrated Christmas song?
I like White Christmas. That's a good one. Going back
it is,
deep.
It is a
classic.
Good one. Old
it
is.
One. Yeah.
Favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
Nice. I got to go with mashed potatoes.
Nice carb right there.
That's it.
Celebrity crush growing up?
Oh, God, let me see. When I was a kid, I think it was Linda Carter. We're going way back to the
Wonder
early 70s.
Woman, yes.
Wonder Woman, she was a beautiful lady. She still is.
She still is. Yeah. Exactly right. Favorite Christmas movie?
Favorite Christmas movie? Man, that's a good one. I'd have to go with It's a Wonderful Life, Capra. Classic.
Which of your 80s movies would be the best reboot?
I think Weird Science could be redone. I think that's primed for the 21st century, maybe.
We'll yeah, see. I think that would make
it. It's up to the bosses in the Black Tower down below here. Right?
Yeah, get Elon Musk involved.
Right, yeah, right.
You could take it next level, right?
Take the technology be a little different than what they use to create her.
Exactly. It's so funny, isn't it? I mean, like looking back at our stuff, the 80s look like the 50s now, don't they?
It's crazy.
So innocent, man. When you look back at stuff, even the 90s, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, and it's such a part of the charm, though. I love it.
Right.
And honestly, the music was so, and I may just be a product of the time,
break
but
it down,
really,
break it down.
The music was so good.
80s
added
music is the best.
The soundtracks added to the films, and really, I think a big part of what I think made them so special.
It's true.
No, right?
Right on with that, absolutely. And also, our business was different at that time. You know, one sold the other. You know,
right.
A movie would sell a soundtrack and vice versa.
They would compliment
right
each other.
Right on with that.
Yeah. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you in studio. Thanks
you
for
too,
taking the time.
Appreciate it.
And listen, please tune in to Riverdale tonight on the CW. Tonight on the CW, you can follow him on Instagram at AMHForReal.
That's it.
Thanks for stopping by, my man.
All right, sir. Good to see you. On
with Mario Lopez.